Well, I can't imagine what it would be like after coming from this world and the first recognition of where you're at. There's no smoke, there's no flames, there's no separation. My initial response is this: woohoo, I made it! Woo! And if you knew my woohoo, made it! Second response, after recognizing the love and acceptance of Jesus, I got a sense there's going to be some tears in heaven. I just believe that. It is the same thing whenever any born-again child of God says yes. Yes to Him. Yes to His salvation. Yes to His direction in the life. Yes in changing to be like Jesus. I can just imagine the angels going, "He said yes! I know it's unusual, but He said yes this time." And there's rejoicing in heaven. But how's God going to demonstrate to us, finite mind, what happens at salvation? How's He going to do that to demonstrate? I go all the way back to water baptism has always represented the coming out or away from and going into. Always. Throughout history. In fact, it is so common among all the civilizations, they know that it comes from one source. We know what that source is. The leaving of one existing life path and becoming dedicated to another. True baptism is always a decision of the one being baptized. If forced baptism, only get someone wet. That's all it is. Get someone wet. Jewish proselytes, Gentiles, Greeks, whatever, Romans, that wanted to become Jewish. Folks, they didn't walk up to a rabbi and goes, I like what you're doing and I want to be a part of it. That's not how he do it. That much spent time was spent instructing in the Jewish commandments, the Torah, if you will. They were going to teach them what it meant to be Jewish. Their Hebrew language, the Jewish history, the religious practices, demonstrating a deep commitment to living as a Jew. In other words, they're going to go from being a Jew here and here to here and here. And the final step was what they called a Jewish mitzvah, a baptism by immersion. And they would walk into the ceremonial cleansing pool and come out on the other side. The convert is considered a new person at that point. From that point on, they were no longer considered as a Gentile anywhere. Every Jewish person was to accept them 100% as a Jew. Immersion, they compared to a new birth, being newborn. The rabbi, when they walked into the water, with a loud voice, he would say, "They go in a Gentile. But they come out a Jew." They come out a Jew. They were to be identified as Jewish in every way from that day forward. Was it the baptism that made them Jewish? No. No. That was here. That was just God demonstrating what has happened here. You got the baptism of John the Baptist in Matthew 3:1-3 and 5-6. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent." In other words, come back to Torah. Come back to the Scripture. "For the kingdom of heaven is near." People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John's baptism was a sign of repentance, coming back, preparing themselves to be identified with the Messiah. Folks, did that happen because they went in and dipped themselves and came out? No. It happened here. It was a preparatory step. They began looking for the Messiah. It was a public declaration of intent. They were going to follow the Messiah. Then we have the baptism of Jesus. Matthew 3:13-15. Then Jesus came to Galilee, to the Jordan, to be baptized by John. But John tried to defer him. Can you imagine? John knows who he is. Here comes Jesus, and he's going, I don't think so, God. He needs to be baptizing me. That's what he needs to be doing. I am not qualified to do this job. You ever say that to God? I'm not qualified to do this.
And Jesus said, it is necessary to do everything the Father required of him, of Jesus, to demonstrate his humble obedience to God. He submitted to baptism, not for repentance, but to fulfill his mission to live perfectly righteous here on this earth. He identified himself, folks, with you and me. He identified himself with our sinful nature. And in essence, Father, look at me as one of them. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. That Greek word for grasp means held onto and used for an advantage. But he emptied himself of his position by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. Three baptisms right there, all demonstrating something that has happened in the life of a person. If you have your scriptures, turn to Matthew chapter 28. Then Jesus came to them and said, some authority has been given to me and some the devil has. Is that what it says? No. Is that what it says? No. Read your scriptures, guys. Don't just assume I'm telling you fact, okay? And if you do, I've got some timeshare. No, never mind. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And here's what I want you to do, to show what is happening in them, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded to you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Go. Baptize them. The Baptist Faith and Message 2000 says this. Christian baptism is the immersion of a believer in water in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. It is an act of obedience symbolizing the believer's faith in a crucified, buried, and risen Savior. The believer's death is sin. Burial to the old life and the resurrection to walk in the newness of life in Christ Jesus is a testimony to his faith in the final resurrection of the dead. All true. Anybody understand that? Yes, Randy, I'm a Baptist. Let's break it down a little bit. Baptism, number one, is an ordinance or a command of Jesus Christ. Why do we baptize? Number one, Jesus tells us to. And he's not told us not to from this point. The word ordinance comes from he ordained or commanded it, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. God planned it, and we are to continue doing it until Jesus returns. So those who have been born again by the Spirit of God, he commands us to come out from the flock, if you will, and be recognized as his. Now, I know you can do that on Facebook. It doesn't count, guys. Does not count, and be baptized. Baptism does not play any role in salvation, but is extremely important in discipleship. You are not saved by getting wet. It demonstrates what has happened in your life. Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Many people want to add to the bottom of that, and if you're baptized in a creek down by the hollow that is pure, then you can be saved. That's not what it says, is it? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for it is by grace you have been saved through your faith that God has given you. And this is not from yourself, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So with the forgiveness of sins and the sealing of the Holy Spirit, the Lordship of Christ comes into your life. It's not just forgiveness of sin. He becomes your Lord, he becomes your master, and you are to follow him. He calls you to be a bondservant, if you will. Jesus is now your Lord and Master, and he has commanded you to be baptized in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. So baptism does not play any role in salvation. But it is a public demonstration of our identity in his death, his burial, his resurrection. We identify with that. It is a public statement of faith that emphasizes our union with Christ's death. He died in my place. I should have died, but he did. I recognize that, and I stand in his death. He has been raised from the dead. One of these days, that's mine as well. He has promised us that. The death, the burial, and resurrection, what happened to Jesus should have happened to me. But out of God's great grace and love, he placed it on his son. It is a symbolic reposition of our new life. Our old life has been buried with Christ. Don't you wish it would stay buried? It creeps up sometimes, doesn't it? We have been raised to a new life in Christ Jesus. Romans 6, 3 and 4. When we became Christians, look at this, and were baptized to become a part of Jesus Christ, through his death, the power of our sinful nature was shattered. That old sinful nature is shattered. It no longer has to have dominion over you. Your old sin-loving nature was buried with him by baptism when he died. And when God the Father was glorious power brought him back to life again, you were given his wonderful new life to enjoy. Folks, we can enjoy our Christianity. We can enjoy the forgiveness we have. We can enjoy the grace that has put upon us. We can enjoy our lives. I get my new identity through Jesus. No longer does this world get to identify me. It will try. No longer does my past get to identify who I am. No longer do my fears, all the other things within us. My identity comes from who God says I am. And I am a child of the living King through Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creature. That person is a new creature, if you will. The old nature is gone, the new is here. When we trust Christ in death, his death counts as our death. Remember, the curse is the curse of sin and death. You sin, you die. Well, because we sin, Jesus died for us. And he has promised us his resurrection. It is often looked at as a picture of God's grace. As innocent as some of these who are baptized are, they're still sinners, saved by grace. And it's awful easy to look at it that way. It's a public demonstration of our intent to be identified as servants of God. And since baptism is a public expression of one's faith, it is only for those who have accepted the salvation offered by Jesus on the cross. Baptism gets you nothing but wet if it's not for the salvation he gives us. Baptism is by immersion. We therefore are buried with him through baptism. Get the imagery here. Into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of God, we too may live. Understand, when they go into the water, it's a symbol that they have died to that old nature. When they come back out, that is the sign of the resurrection that has come upon us. It displays the powerful portrayal of death, burial, and resurrection through going down in the water. The Jewish proselyte baptism was immersion. John the Baptist baptism was immersion. Jesus was immersed. And every account in Scripture was by immersion. So to be true to the Scripture, that's what we do here. Philip went down, an Ethiopian was coming down on the Damascus Road, and he was reading in Isaiah 53, trying to figure out what in the world that sucker meant without knowing what God was going to do. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water. The Ethiopian believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and the testimony of Philip. As they came along the side, they came to some water. The eunuch said, "Look, here is some water. What kind of water are you going to find on the side of the road?" A ditch with some water. But it was so important for this eunuch to be identified and obey the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "What's wrong with that water?" And Philip looked down and he said, "Nothing. Nothing at all." So they stopped the chariot. Now, it wasn't just the eunuch. He was a treasurer in the royalty family, if you will. And he had all sorts of people with him. He gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. It was so important that the eunuch wanted to be obedient. There can be exceptions, okay? There was some that came to me, and he had a port that could not go underwater. Could not go underwater. So I say he's 98% baptized. And his head went... There are some ways, different ways to do it, okay? But for the most part, we want to be obedient to what God's Word says. Baptism is in the name of the triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is a holy appeal to all of the Godhead to be a part of the redemptive work in this person, not just in the salvation part, but redeeming the person to walk in a life that glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ, to change, to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And it will take all three of these to do it. We are saved by all three of them. There is no salvation without the Father who draws. There is no salvation without the Son who paid the debt. There is no salvation without the Holy Spirit that gives the power to overcome the sin that was in our lives. We are called upon their name, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are depending on them, and we're honoring them when we are baptized. I recognize what you have done, Father. I recognize I'm not just getting wet. I don't have all the answers. But I know this, I want to be obedient to what you've instructed me. We're saying that this act of baptism is by them and for them, recognized by them. You belong to the whole family of God, with everything included in His family available to you. You need all the Godhead to live in this world. You need all the Godhead to have strength in this world. Romans 8:17. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ Jesus. Everything that Jesus inherited by being the Savior of this world, it's ours. We are co-heirs with Him. And look what He gave us. Ephesians 1:10. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly place. What has been held back? Nothing. Well, I can see that for you, Randy. Oh, if you knew me, you couldn't. What's been held back? What's God holding back and saying, well, I'm going to give it to Randy, but I'm not going to give it to anyone else. Or I'm not going to give it to Ryan. Every spiritual blessing available in the heavenlies are yours in Christ Jesus. Baptizing is very important in the life of every born-again child of God. I have never seen a strong Christian disciple that has not been baptized. Not been baptized. It was uncompromisingly commanded and ordained by the Lord Jesus until He comes. It was uniquely connected to the conversion as an unrepeatable expression of saving faith. We're only justified once. We only die and are united with Christ Jesus once and permanently. We are His in Christ Jesus. It is a sacred expression of faith, a faith that unites you to Christ and His people. Baptism is a public way to show that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Sharing your testimony for all who witnesses and proclaiming the gospel to your family, to your friends, and those who are just looking on. It is a way to publicly say, I am a Christian. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. My sins have been forgiven. I look forward to the day of being with Him. I identify with Christ. And what's better? Christ identifies with me. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your grace and mercy. Thank You, we are saved. Thank You, our sins are forgiven. Thank You, God, that we can be baptized and it means something. Lord, we will fail in many ways, but there is always repentance. There's always forgiveness. In those times when we are weak and our strength is just lacking, You have promised us strength from heaven for us. God, we want to be obedient to You to the best of our ability. We want to follow your word to the best of our abilities and be true to what you have given us. Now, Lord, if there's someone here who does not know you, they know that by now. And they can choose to accept you or choose to deny you. May they come and not leave this building the same. But for the most of us, are we truly disciples? Are we following after the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there repentance that needs to come into our life? Not perfection, repentance. And if I've never followed him in that first act of obedience, I choose today to do that. Now, Lord, open up your altars, and I give you the praise. You are just glorious. For your glory alone, amen.